God, what would your prayer consist of? If you were to pray to God, what is the one thing that God wants you to ask Him for? Yes?
Mercy.
Mercy, okay. That's for the sinners. Peace. The non-sinners wouldn't need it, but the sinners. Everybody needs mercy.
To know him?
Yeah. To know exactly who he is. Who is this Jesus?
Yeah, who is he?
Okay, there are two answers. So what are the two answers?
Savior
and Lord. Okay, Savior and Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Savior, because he's forgiven all your sins, so you don't have any. Then Lord is then you become bound to love your neighbor as God has loved you as yourself. That's something you wish that everyone would treat you exactly as you are. And what is politics? Loving your neighbor. I'm going to say that again. Politics is nothing about corruption and nothing about all the problems. Has nothing to do with anything. It's just an opportunity for us to meet people of different religions, of different backgrounds, of different cultures, of different skin colors. And so loving your neighbor without distinguishing them, because everybody on earth is part of a human brotherhood. Everybody on earth, no matter what their distinctions are, they're all one blood. You understand that? That's in Acts. One blood. Since the whole world is one blood, there are no races. So everything you see on television is a lie. There is no such thing as a race in the Bible. God doesn't know it in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Shem, Ham, and Japheth are brothers. So everybody is your brother or sister, period. There are no races. There's only families from Shem, from Ham, from Japheth. And since they intermarry, whether God wants them to or not, they do, then you have everyone on earth is born of one of those families, if not a mixture of two or even three. It's no question about that. So when you meet somebody else, that's a brother or a sister. That's a brother or a sister. They're family. And there's really only one family, and that we call it the human race, but it's not a race. It's just one blood. We're all of the same blood, whether it's type O or A or B or whatever. It doesn't matter. Since we're all of one blood, then you cannot meet someone who's of a different branch of the family because it's all family. We all come from Adam and Eve. All come from Adam and Eve. Only two people. And so the black race, there isn't any in the Bible. The white race, there isn't any in the Bible. The colored race, there isn't any in the Bible. So as a Christian, you don't want to accept something that is antithetical to the biblical language. So racism is just made up. When you have a different race, you're distinguishing yourself from a brother or a sister. And they'd use it to make hatred exist. I'm better than you. As little kids, we used to say that. I'm better than you are. Everybody wants to be better, but be different. You can be different from somebody, but you're of the same blood. Same blood. You don't want a monkey next to you, for those that are evolution-minded, because the monkey will kill you. Any monkey. In other words, any animal. You're not able to receive to anything except that we're all of one blood. So that makes a difference. How many know there would be peace on earth if we understood that? There'd be peace on earth. Now today what I want to answer is the question, who is Jesus? Why did he come? Why did God send him on earth? What was God's purpose in sending him on earth? And I'll say before I give the answer away, the church today does not know why he came. The church today, the lukewarm church, makes provision for sin because it doesn't know why he came, even though they have Christian behind their identity. That doesn't solve anything. You have to know exactly why Jesus came. So what was the one thing we were missing without Jesus? What was the one thing we didn't have until Jesus came? So, sixth chapter is going to answer this question brilliantly, unbelievably. You will be shocked at his characterization of why he came. So, there was a group of people that gathered to hear him. After these things, verse 1, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Well, Tiberias was the emperor. So Tiberias was the emperor, and so he just claimed it. And that is not one family. Rome claimed the Galilee, it claimed it for itself because they conquered them. How many know Rome was the empire when Jesus was born? And he was born during the time that Caesar Augustus hadn't yet died. He didn't die until the 14th year after Jesus was born. So, but the follower was Tiberius. And so Jesus actually carried out his ministry under Tiberius. And Pontius Pilate understood that because when he had allowed the Jewish people to be betrayed by their own leaders, he went out and committed suicide. Not immediately, but he was demoted because the centurion made a report that truly this man, 100 people under him, truly this man was the Son of God. And he went all the way, he sent his report to Tiberius, the emperor. And he said to the emperor, we need to make this man part of the pantheon of Rome. How many know that's not God's will? That was not God's will. He didn't want to be one God among many. He wanted to be the only God. You understand that?
Yes.
So since he's the only God, and there ain't no other, there cannot be any other, because it related to exactly what I'm about to share with you in this sixth chapter. So the crowds were following Jesus, and there were small crowds, and then they began to increase. And Jesus then went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude. Well, we don't know exactly what that is, but it's a lot of people, and you can't number them. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So one of the big issues today is a lot of people are sick. A lot of people are anxious. A lot of people are stressed. A lot of people want medicine. A lot of people want to get their husbands or neighbors or family members or friends or even enemies healed. And it's a big ministry that's carried on in the church to promote that. God is a healer, and he heals diseases. So those were miraculous. The problem with miracles is they don't endure. The problem with miracles is they are momentary manifestations of the mercy and grace and goodness of God, and that they're wonderful because they testify of Jesus that he could do these miracles. None of the Jewish people that were alive in his day could perform that. None of them. And when they were against them, they weren't expecting them. And especially they didn't like Jesus because he was not joining the outfit. He was not part of their Jewish deal. And Nicodemus tried to make a deal with him and so on and so forth. Woman at the well and all that. But Jesus was interested in all mankind. He wasn't interested in just Jewish people. He was interested in everybody. And he's no respecter of persons. So whether you're a bum living in the gutter or whether you're the king, it doesn't make any difference to God. God loves everybody that he has created. God loves everybody equally. And our founding document in America was written by Jefferson. And he said, all men are created equal. That is something no one else had. Even the Jewish people. They knew they were to love even their enemies, but they were reluctant to do that because a lot of their enemies wanted to do them in. And they had wars and problems like that. And they eventually had to go to Africa to escape all the, anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. They eventually had to go to Africa and intermarry with the Africans. Abraham, and he had an African wife. And Moses had an African wife and so on and so forth. And he was adopted by the princess of the Pharaoh and so on and so forth. So there was a lot of intermarriage there between, and I could go all the way through the Bible, between black and white and colored, but particularly black and white. And that's a problem that America has never solved. America has never solved that problem. We had a war, but war doesn't change your heart. War does not change your heart. People are still what they call racist, but that's because they don't understand that it's not a race. It's a family. It's a family affair. Christianity is all about one blood. We're all from one blood. And all the way through the Bible, God wants his people to understand why God sent Jesus to earth. And so he's doing miracles, and so the crowds are gathered. They're always looking for something either to help them or to gawk and be amazed at the miracles. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles, his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh near. So this is springtime. And in the springtime, people can walk around because it's not winter. It's not cold. And so it's a good time to gather together in multitudes. But millions would have been in Jerusalem, because they come early to get there for the festival. It'll last for at least a week and so on and so forth. So people are there, and some say 2 million, some say 3 million. It doesn't matter. But all the Jews, wherever they were in the world, had to come for Passover. It was a commandment of that, never forget the Sabbath, but also never forget the seven festivals of Israel. And so Passover is the first. And then it's followed by, sometimes the next day, by the second, unleavened bread, which lasts a whole week. And then it's followed by a third, which in his day landed on a Sunday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all three festivals. It doesn't happen very often, but they're right in a row. And so Thursday night, because the day for the Jewish people begins at evening, So about 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. In springtime, this was a time for all these people to be gathered together, because what does the Passover mean? You had to have a lamb, and so on and so forth. But what does Passover mean? You'll probably get it wrong, so I'm asking the question because I want you to think before I tell you what it is. What is the spring festival all about? You dress up in white, everybody comes, you have candles, you read out of the scripture. I mean, it's a big feast, festival. It's a big happy time. What is it that made it happy for the Jewish people? It ended 430 years of being enslaved in Egypt. The 30 comes from the fact that Isaac was conceived and born after 5 years of weaning. And the fact that he was 100 years old, now you have another 5 years, and then you get another 30 years. And that's because when Abraham was given the covenant, he was 75. Now you add another 25, plus you had another 5. Did you see what I just said? So now we know exactly when the Passover is. You have the terminus ad quo and terminus ad quem. In other words, you can figure out how it starts and how it ends. And people today do not know how to, nobody has ever given a date. Nobody. And I'm well read, and I can tell you, no one has ever figured it out. But it's not hidden. It's right there in the Bible. So, but you'd have to figure out, how does that 5 enter into that? They know the 30 because he was 75, and then it happened when he was 100. So that's easy. So 130, but I mean 125. But how did it become 130? Because God prophesied this. He said, this is when it's going to start and this is when it's going to end. So anyway, all these people, several million, maybe 3, maybe 2, attended, and they were gathered around to hear what Jesus had to say about himself. Why did Jesus come? And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Wow, this is amazing that Jesus cares about the fact that you're hungry. He cares about that. He said, well, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Because these people are hungry. And we've gone for days, and they haven't eaten anything. I mean, they're just listening to what I'm doing. I'm healing people and so on, and they're praising God, and they don't want to miss out on anything. And Jesus said, you know, it's time to end the fast and feed them. So this is what Philip saith unto him. And this he said to prove him, to prove that Jesus came for the reason I'm about to share with you. For he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus, being Son of Man, so he could die, was also Son of God, so he could live forever and ever, and so on and so forth. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not even sufficient for them, so that every one of them may take a little. So this is like two, if you have these thousands of people following him, and it's in the thousands. In fact, there'll be 5,000 men, just men alone, and not the children and not the wives that are there, the mothers and so on and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of people gathered to hear what was Jesus' message. He started out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what is the kingdom of heaven? Why did Jesus come? What is the reason that he came? And I want you to understand, because I don't think most churches understand why he came. Though they use the same words, they're not really thinking of the words they use. They just say it because it's written in the Bible. But they come for the wrong reason. And I want to talk about that right now. What is church all about? And people say the right words but have no understanding of it. So Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, so that every one of them may take a little. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. How many know that is enough for one hungry man? You know, some men can eat that much. I was out last night, Peggy and I, and this person had a heaping, you know, it's like, how can you eat all of that? So he was like, yes. And so it was good. But anyway, his tummy was extended quite a bit. Because you could eat all you want. You could eat all you want. It's like Terra down here in Fort Worth. It's another Terra in another place. But you can eat all you want, but you can't take anything with you. No doggy bags. You know, you have to eat it. He was just going and going and going. And so most men here are not like that. But a few of you can out-eat me. Because I'm fasting and I don't really care about food. So I'll have a big fun time in Africa because they want to share their food with you, because that's hospitality and they don't like you to say no. So I already told the leader, I'm not going to eat the local food and I'm not going to drink the local water. If you want to ever see me again, I'm not going to do it. I'll bring granola. I'll bring, you know, all my stuff. So I've loaded my bags. They're both full of food because I want food that won't kill me. And so I did that among the pygmies because the man who led the thing, Bishop Simeon, he said to him, Chad Ide was with me. He used to do music here. And so Chad was there and he said, is this good for us? And Chad had shots and so on and so forth. So he's all right. So, but he said, this fork needs cleaning. So the pastor just took it out of his hand, wiped it off with his hand, and then gave it back to him. Here, that fork is clean. And I knew right away, I'm not going to do that. Because they don't have any bathrooms. I don't know if you know that. They don't have any kitchens. So there's nothing boiled or anything like that. And so, man, what am I going to eat for 3 days with the pygmies? I said, wow. Ah, and then I remembered they have bananas and nobody has ever, they're covered. God has covered them with the banana skin. And they bought a whole, this big a banana thing, this big all thing. It said, you know what I'd really love? Don't even need a fork. If I could just eat some of these bananas. And so I ate bananas for 3 days. So it was horrible. But anyway, so I bananaed up. But bananas are good for you, but I don't think you can have a diet of bananas. But I insisted, no, I love these bananas. Because I don't want to not come back. And I told the pastor, I can't do that. If you want me to come back, our bugs are not like your bugs. We have diseases in our place and you would kill you, but you have them in this place and we're not immune to all of that. So when they wash out, you know, like have bottle washing things, that's just a couple of people sitting on a back porch just pushing water on them and so on. So they, you know, that bottle is now clean. And I knew that's just dirty water. It was like, it's not going to work. Anyway, they have bugs that they can resist that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be alive. So they're there. And so this lad here has five barley loaves, so five loaves of bread, and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? 5,000 men plus the women plus the children. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. How many divided by, how many men would 5,000 make in a group if you divided? 50 people sat in a group, and so that's how 5,000 men could, and that's the number it was. So they had groups of 50, and all these men were there. But they're hungry, and they've gone without food for several days, so their stomach is crying out, feed me, feed me. And so thank you for Jesus who said that. You know, we got to get some food here. And Jesus took up the loaves, verse 11. And when he had given thanks, he distributed those that he took up to the disciples, and the disciples, to them that were set down, they got some, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So here he's feeding 5,000 men, plus as many women as there are, plus the children, the lad at least. You know, we got more than 5,000. And so, and then Jesus saw that everyone was, not only did they eat the food, the little bit of fish, but you just get a, you know, just something you could hold between your fingers or something if they just get all those fish out for 5,000. No, you couldn't even get that. I don't even know how, you just breathe it or something. How can you feed that many people? But he said, all the people ate and were satisfied. Whoa, no more. And Jesus said, okay, go and pick up the leftovers. Let's put those in the fridge. Save them for later. And so they picked up how many? Baskets full. 12. So not only did he feed all these people, they ate and were satisfied, but then he gathered up fragments, and it turns out to be 12 baskets full, big baskets full of bread and fish. Maybe not the fish, but at least the bread. Wow, that was quite a miracle. And so this is what Jesus summarizes all this. Therefore, verse 13, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet which should come into the world. So why is this crowd following Jesus about? Because of the miracles, right? But Jesus disputes that. Jesus doesn't agree with that. What is a miracle? I just said something to you. What is a miracle? It's just temporary. It just feeds you for that meal, but it's not going to keep going on. And you remember the widow and so on. She had so much. But Jesus multiplied it, or God multiplied it. So miracles are something that takes place, but they don't last. When God, you pray to God and he heals you, you think, I'll never forget this, because I was about to die, I was about to be gone. Wow, I'll never forget this. But in a few minutes, you've forgotten all about it. Hey, could I borrow a nickel? You know, I mean, the people are just miracles don't last that long. And the old charismatic movement, you remember that years ago? And, you know, they bring it out as scrapbook stuff that used to happen, but it's not happening anymore, or at least it's rare, or at least they make that the major part of their ministry. It's not here. We don't make that the major part of the ministry. People have asked me, well, if you just have this band group and so on. You'd draw crowds. And if you just do some miracles, people would gather and so on and so forth. Well, I don't think so. I mean, I know that would help, but it would not last. It will not last because you figure out where the glory spout is in Fort Worth, you know, and you go to that church, and then it's at another church, and then over here, and people are trying to get their full of everything. And what are they doing? What is a miracle as far as these people were concerned? The miracles were done. But what is the miracle? Jesus said it's not that they saw a miracle, because that's not the miracle. That's not why I came. Wow, this would be interesting. Well, that's a good thing. You're meeting people's needs. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. The one that Moses spoke about, another prophet. He's going to be sent into the world, and he'll do these kind of things. But when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Wow. Jesus perceived that these people were not being impressed with the miracle, which had another purpose. They were only impressed that he'd fed them. They were only impressed that they ate and were satisfied. In other words, he met their physical needs. How many people here today look to God as meeting your physical needs? Well, I don't see any hands, but that's everybody. I mean, everybody, you're a person, and so you want the physical needs at least met. But he has another purpose. That's not it. What is Jesus' purpose? Can anyone guess right now? He met the physical needs. He wanted the American dream. Everyone would have a job. You know, you don't have to pay for school, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Even make America great again. You know, it's all this world. He's only interested in this world. How many here have had that temptation every once in a while to wish, boy, if this would just go away, it'd be a miracle. If that could just be taken care of. God, please get that, because I need that. And Jesus healed people that were sick. So it's not that that isn't something. It's not why he came. Why did he come?
That we might have life everlasting.
Say it again.
That we might have life everlasting.
Correct. She's got it. He was a spiritual person, and he's teaching the kingdom of God. And he wanted everyone in church to not focus on healings and miracles and wonders and so on, because the purpose of the miracle is God is here to meet your spiritual, eternal life needs so that you could be in heaven with him forever and ever, world without end. How many know that you've heard people say that, but really what they're after is just meet my physical needs. I want to have a happy life. I want to be safe. I need insurance, and I need stuff. And God, if you don't supply the stuff, I'm going to perish. Without a vision, the people are destroyed. For lack of knowledge, because they don't know. What? They perish. If you don't have knowledge, if you don't have correct knowledge, you miss Jesus, because he isn't just a miracle worker. He didn't just do it for miracles. The miracle was to say, this is my son. I want you to relate to him as Savior, Lord, Bridegroom.
Amen.
I want you to inherit eternal life. I want you to wear a crown that will never fade. So the only thing that actually still works in the world today is why Jesus came. The only thing is Jesus came for every one of you to give you eternal life, that you might start now with your eternal life until all the sin is gone, till you're perfected in love until there's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He didn't come just to feed the poor. He didn't come to fix up this world. He didn't come for secular reasons. He came for spiritual reasons. I could quote the scripture inside and out and tell you that's what the Messiah is all about. The Jewish Messiah didn't come just to do miracles. That's just to say who he is, because he did stuff nobody else could do. The Pharisees couldn't do it. The Sadducees couldn't do it. The Herodians couldn't do it. Nobody could do it in his day. They didn't do anything, because all they knew was the people want this and we don't have enough. We're short on that. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, I mean, we can't live on that. Once you get what you want, you find out it isn't what you want, but you don't know that because you perish for lack of knowledge. You perish. In other words, perish means die. So you then die because you die spiritually, because you're only interested in physical, this world, this side of heaven stuff. How many know what I'm saying is true? I mean, you can get at least head knowledge. It's true that we want what's in his left hand, not what's in his right hand. We want what's in his left hand, not what's in his right hand. But he only came for the right hand. And even though he does these things, they don't last. So if you just, let's say you have $1 billion or 10 billion or 100 billion, who cares? Or a trillion, it doesn't matter. Those things will not get you to heaven.
That's right.
You need something more. The only thing that people need, and I don't have to ask them questions. I know exactly why I've been sent to wherever I go or whoever I meet. It can be here, it can be there. I don't do anything different there than I do here. Just preach the word. Live the word. Spend time with God. I want him and not it. I don't want miracles that don't last. I want a miracle that's forever and ever. That's a different kind of miracle. So Jesus Christ, by the way, you could say amen.
Amen.
Yet Jesus Christ came for a different reason. He's here explaining this miracle. The miracles, he knows it's a miracle, but they're not going to last. Because once you have everything in this world and you lose your soul, you need to get something that will feed your soul and your body. So the kingdom of God is not here. It's somewhere else. But all the churches, like this church, should be part of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Not feeding the poor, not doing all those things. Those are incidental because you're a Christian, because you know him. And when it's done, him did it, not you.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
You see, we have our thought of who is this that can calm the sea? Who is this that can feed the 5,000? Who is this that can do thus and so and thus and so? You're missing it because you're going for the left hand rather than the right hand. This is the only reason he came. He is on the right side of God, and he wants to give you his righteousness so that you're righteous by believing that you're not, but he is, and now it's yours because he substituted on your behalf. He's the substitute. Everyone needs to know Jesus, and you don't have any other agenda, and you get everything else. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll give you everything else. So the miracles come because you know him, not it. You don't want the miracle, which everyone wants today. Oh, now they discovered this and they can do this and blah, blah, blah. It all leads to sin and death. It all leads to sin and death. Everything man wants leads to sin and death. But we are born again. We're born from above. And the reason he came is to give us eternal life. If you believe these words that I say to you, and no one wants to believe them. I mean, there's not a person on earth that wants to have heavenly things. They want earthly things. They're after that. Even Christians. Christians are mammonists. They want to make money. Everything is money. That's where corruption comes in. There's corruption in every government, and on and on and on. So everything that man is looking for is not what Jesus is offering. Could I hear an amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm giving you head knowledge. You don't have to believe it. You just have to hear it. That God is saying to you, why do they seek me as though the miracle were not that they could have a relationship with me, rather than you want all the goodies? You want all the fine things so that you don't worry and that you don't care and everything is taken care of. That's what socialism is all about, looking to man to satisfy your human needs. They even have schools of thought that says, oh, man has all these needs and so on and so forth. You have one need, one, to know God. Yeah. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, John 17:3, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's who you can't even know God without knowing Jesus, and you can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes what's His and declares it to you so that you can know Him who reveals the Father. So the Son is actually revealing the Father, but only if the Holy Spirit in the Word has written words that could come and you have faith in God.
Amen.
Do you see all that?
Yeah.
Was that too complex?
No, it was good. Wow. Keep going.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, it's good. I have one customer. So I'm glad that you see that what God wants for you is eternal life. No one else can give that. It's not even possible. Only God has eternal life. But most of the ministries that I know, and I'm not criticizing, it's just a fact, they're interested in this world. They're interested in doing stuff that people will thank you for and so on. But there's no thanksgiving to God. Well, thank you for doing that. Thank God for you. But they're really interested in the goodies. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in the goodness of God or the mercy of God or the real thing is you need to have a relationship with the living God, the true and living God. Amen?
Yeah.
That's my whole point. Yeah. I don't have anything else but truth. I don't have anything else. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I don't have anything else. We don't have a nice church. We don't have anything, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm not ashamed. I don't care what it is. Anything. I don't care. I'm not trying to do anything for anybody. Why? Unless God says so. Then I'll do it. I'll do whatever He says. If He says go into the most dangerous spot, I'll go there. And this is a very dangerous spot. But I'm not worried. How many know that we don't fret because of evildoers? And so, you know, first of all, we have to fly to Dubai. Dubai is a really, really, really expensive place. But everyone can go there. Mafia from America, mafia from Russia. They can all go there, but you're not allowed to do anything with your religion. So you're a Muslim, we don't do it here in Dubai. Do you understand what I just said?
Yeah.
You don't do it here because we want everyone to get along. And they will make sure you understand that that's not just a suggestion. And so they will guard us during the daytime, but they advise no travel at night or be on the road because there they chop your head off. So I don't think I'll leave the hotel at night. I'll stay in my hotel. You can go to the, you know, wherever you want to go. But I'm going to stay here. Now, you have to be a servant that only pleases Jesus. That's me. That's totally me. I don't want to please anybody else. Am I perfect at it? Not at all. I'm just like everybody else. I'm not perfect at it. But that's my heart. And God is only going to judge your heart. Did Jesus enter into your heart and fill your heart with a love for God? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, there it is. Mm-hmm. Whole Ten Commandments is not done by Jewish people. It's only done by people who have faith in Jesus.
That's right.
Well, they don't. And the Muslims don't. And the Hindus don't. And the Buddhists don't. And the Confucianists don't. And so on. The whole world is just idols. Totally nothing. Man at his best state, all the way until Jesus comes back, in his best state, which is 6 days. The world is only 6,000 years old and a little bit. We're actually in, chronologically, the seventh day now. And it isn't just because, you know, when the last millennium ended a few years ago, 2000, you know, it's not that. Because God has times that you don't know about. In other words, He can shorten the days, because otherwise you'd be tempted to join the world. And so He said, no, I'll shorten it because I don't even want my people to fall away. So He's going to shorten the time. So you don't know exactly when He's going to come, but we're in the season. Yeah. I know we're in the seventh day, yeah, which is in the Old Testament, the third day. The seventh is the third. The third is the seventh. So from that one in the Old Testament, in 6:2, it says, there'll come a time, and on the third day, after 2 days, then I'll come back. Well, we're already in the third day, which is the seventh day, which is the millennium. But we haven't started the millennium because the Jews haven't yet gone through their affliction, because God is going to have to purify the Jews before He comes back, before, so that then the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan himself is stirring up troubles today. Have you noticed that there are troubles everywhere?
Yeah.
In the world you have trouble, be of good cheer. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't even look at it. Because we're not trying to fix up the world. We're not trying to make it great. We're not trying to do anything for the world. I don't care what the government does. I'm just simply saying, making America great, I know what He has in mind. Go back to, you know, the way it was originally and so on. It's good. Very, very good idea. But you know what? That's not His agenda. So you can give people jobs. Oh, we have jobs now. We have this. Now the economy's up, or at least the stock market is up, or whatever, and so on and so forth. But that is going to be short-lived.
Yeah.
Because nobody sought Him for His right hand, taking what His gift is, eternal life.
Yeah.
Nobody sought Him to have spiritual life. You're not born of the flesh. You're born of the Spirit. And that is gone in our day, even though people preach it. They preach it. But I know that their heart is still in this world. If I could just have two. That's the lukewarm church. They're trying to get two. I want to be a Christian, but I also want to live my own life. That's funny. Don't you think that's funny? That's funny. Because you can't do two things at once. You cannot do two things at once. You're either all the way with God or no way. So I know this is just concept. We're not talking about doing it. I'm just talking about concept. You need to know that you're not good and God is.
That's right.
If you know that, you're happy. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's me. Now, how many of you are happy in the Lord? Just the Lord. You want to know Him. You don't want to know it. You want to know Him. Because that's the miracle, is to know Him and hear Him and follow Him and do whatever He says. Wow. Because that's life. You have eternal life in you right now. You have a new heart. You want a new soul. That means you'd have to go through all the chastening and all of the fire and all of the fury that comes from burning up all your sin. But Jesus said, I'll do that. I'll do that. I can forgive all your sins. Then I can take all the power of sin away. Then I can perfect you in love. I can do all of that. And I already did it. He did that before the foundation of the world, 6,000 years ago. He didn't just do it 2,000 years ago, the third day. He did it 6,000 years ago. Because we just celebrated, we thought, 2,000 years, you know, as the millennium ended. Remember at the millennium, some of you had beans and bullets and Bibles and stuff stored up in case the computers all crashed and so on and so forth. You had stuff, and there it is, rotting. Because that only lasts about 15 years when you do it the right way. And we did that, you know, put this leaf in there and all this vacuum and so on. And all the people that I said, if that happens, you better be ready. So we have attics full of this stuff. We have basements. We have everything. And you know what? It's better just to do nothing.
Yeah.
But we thought we could beat the system and we'd be safe and happy. Isn't that exciting? That's mankind's real agenda. Even the American dream is not the American dream. I can own my own land and I'll be free and I can do this and I can do that. That's great. I'll be a millionaire. I'll be a billionaire. I'll be a trillionaire. So that's great. I don't regret anybody doing that. That's it. Do it. I'm just telling you, it'd be better that you didn't follow your culture.
Amen.
It'd be better if you met Jesus. Is that clear?
Yeah.
I think it's clear.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But this is really powerful. So here's how it all ends, and we'll end with this. Therefore they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets full, barley loaves, and above and beyond that which they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. For what purpose?" When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. How many know that when there's no way, God can make a way? So he found a mountain where he himself could be alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down to the sea, and they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, which is his headquarters. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Where's Jesus? Why do they seek me? And the sea arose by reason of the great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near unto the ship. They were afraid. But Jesus said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Wow, isn't that neat of Jesus? And I have that. Do you have that? You can have it. You know what? All you have to do is admit you're no good and God is good.
That's right.
That's all you have to admit is I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I wasn't holy like God wanted. It's not a legal righteousness. It's a faith righteousness that he just gives it to you as a free gift without any cost. I tell you, there's no religion like that. All the idolatry is man working to please somebody or to do something, to make your name great because you're proud of being a Christian or you're proud of being Jewish or you're proud of being a Muslim or you're proud of being something or other. God doesn't want that. Never entered the world because of that. He came down, the Son of God came down to be Son of Man so that you could have happiness on earth, but spiritual happiness, not necessarily that everything's going your way. It's not the dream. America is great because we're Christian. No, you're not great because you're Christian. You're great because God is great.
Amen.
And God is good.
Amen.
And he's not good without being great, and he's not great without being good. What if he were great, but he wasn't any good? What if he were good, but he didn't have any power to make it happen? So those two have to be together. So God wants you to know Jesus, and when you do, it's a new world. It's nothing like this world offers. This world does not offer, you know, that you can be 26 and still be on your parents, and you can have free hospital, and you can have free this and so on. It's nothing like any of that. And even the capitalists, they just want to make more money and so on and so forth. So we're fascists or we're capitalists or we're communists or whatever we are. That all came from Europe, by the way. All of that just comes from Europe. But why? Because it matches the human character. People want to be rich. Don't you wish you had another billion or a million or something on the side? Well, you came to the wrong church. we don't even do that. And so, you know, I'm going on my own nickel. I'm not asking the church for anything. I'm just going on my own nickel. Because I like to obey God. And I like to do what God wants me to do. So if I die, I die. You just push me over and keep moving on. Right? Peggy would have trouble because she loves me dearly. Or she might go, whew. that was a mess. Anyway. Do y'all understand? I'm not looking for any, I don't have an agenda. I have no agenda except to know Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
Marty, that's great. Just to know Jesus. I want to know him more and more. Now, all the songs are like that, you know, all the old hymns and stuff. You know, they're like that. But those are just concepts. But deep down, we want what's in the left hand. We just hope that this one will give me this one. We even might do it, just go to church so you get some of this. Oh, glory. Dave, what do you think?
That's it.
That's it. True. Praise God. John, what do you think?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. It's powerful. Obo, what do you think?
Perfect.
To God be the glory. Yes.
You know, this chapter is about Jesus declaring himself to be the manna from heaven.
Yes.
And it's interesting to think that in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the tablets of law, there was the manna and the rod of Aaron.
Right.
But when Solomon built his temple, when it became a temple, there was no more manna and there was not the rod. It was just the law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Jesus in this chapter is bringing back the manna put in the church that he's building, the new tabernacle.
Right.
So the manna will be there. And this is a wild guess. But
no.
The rod is the disciples going out to declare the doctrine, the teaching, and the miracles of God. So it's being put back.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
The hidden manna. In Revelation it says, ask for the hidden manna.
Right.
And I think this is the hidden manna being revealed.
Right. And she's absolutely right, and that's how the chapter ends. What you want today, your prayer today is, God, I need that heavenly manna. I need that manna from heaven. I need something from you that is not on this earth. That's what I want. That's my deepest prayer. I want to know you more and more. I want to continue the way I started, but I'm not discouraged by what I see. I'm only living by your word. Don't ever go by what you see. Go by what he said. Don't go by what you see. Only go by what he said. You live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what he's saying is, this is what you ask for. This is what you ask for. Give me bread from heaven. Remember the water, the living water? Give me that living water. I would like that living water. So everyone that came to Jesus realized it wasn't the miracles, because your joy is in knowing him and not the miracle, the signs, the wonders. What you want is, God, I need that manna from heaven. That's not what we're crying out, but I want you to cry out and say, God, I don't even know what he's talking about, but I'm going to just do it anyway. I want that manna from heaven. I want that drink, the cup that we haven't drunk yet. We've drunk one cup. There's another cup, and that is that new wine has never been tasted before. I have saved the new wine till the end. I've saved it to the end when we're in heaven itself. Everything good comes from heaven. Everything evil comes from earth. Did you, I'm making it clear. Everything good comes from heaven. The problem is the world is not done with earth.
Yeah.
We're just living in the earth, trying to survive as much as we can and get as much stuff as we can possibly get. And then when you die, you don't even take it.
Nope.
Send me that. I might need that later. You know, that's why the pyramids were built. Because they believed that the life they lived on earth as Pharaoh and his family, they would have the same life. So they had a death thing. That's why it goes down in the ground, a pit. Because they killed off all the servants so they'd have servants in the next life. That's Ma'at. That is the justice of the Egyptians. I'm just trying to tell you, man has never come up with anything good. humanism stinketh, because you want manna. You want the food that he'll keep supplying, but God doesn't do it that way. It's just miraculous and it doesn't last. Doesn't do it that way. That's just to say, I love you. That's just to say, I love you. And he will make a way when there's no way, but it doesn't last. You want lasting peace? That comes from God. You want heaven on earth? That comes from God. This church is heaven on earth, yeah. Right? And when you enter this church, you don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even want it. Just this church is your home. You can love anybody here. You can love anybody here. And you can love David. You know, it's a miracle. That'll be a miracle. And so everything is a free gift. There's no giver in the whole universe except God. Amen. There's no one that gives anything. Even when we give it, we have a string attached. I hope they notice the price tag on this thing. You know, I hope that they give me glory for doing this. And you can say, I don't have that. Yes, you do. Secretly, you know that this is going to cost a little bit more than that. And you reduce everything to money. Did you know in heaven, there's no money? Come buy and eat with no money. Mm-hmm. So in heaven, there's no money. Money is the root of all evil. Because the love of money, that is, you lust after it. If only I had more dollars, I could pay off the bills and have some left over for a party. The thing you're interested in is the party. What culture you're in, they have that. Festivals, yay! You know, I can drink all I want. I can do this. I can. It's one of the perks of businessmen and so on and so forth. They allow themselves a lot of perks. That's why they're trying to get Trump. He made all that money because he's crooked. He's no good. We have the reward we want to give him. Get rid of him, and then we'll find a crime that'll fit that. And they haven't done so far, but they're bound to do it. It's kind of like God. Yeah. You hated me without a cause. Mm-hmm. And he even boasts on it. Tweet, tweet. And he even boasts on that. Because he's distracting them and he's giving them kind of their crazy. Yeah. Because they're trying to think of a way to get him. And they know that he's committed a crime because he's a businessman. And they know some of it he's admitted. Yes, I did that and so on and so forth. I took advantage of stuff. But now I want to be president and have everybody be equal. Well, he's not talking about egalitarianism. He's talking about everyone has an equal opportunity. Pursuit of happiness is not happiness. You pursue happiness. How many know that people that pursue happiness don't get it?
That's right.
I'm just telling you right now. If you pursue it, you're not going to get it. So they just said, you have a right to own private property and you have a right to do this and so on. But it's just the pursuit. But you're not going to get it without Jesus, because Jesus came to give you eternal life.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. Glory.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! I can keep it going.
Yeah.
I can go a long time. You tried that. You tried that. Yeah. Yeah.
I must be closer to Jesus.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'll be there. Stand on your pew. Be closer. All right. God is good. Obo, need a prayer. Yes. Amen. Amen.